Time for Clash of the Classics.
Hey, folks, I recognize that intro. That's right. It's time for Clash of the Classics. Every week we roll the clock back. We pit two classic models against one another. These battles are always fueled by the National Parts Depot. Today the showdown is between the 1949 Ford Custom and the 1949 Studebaker Commander. I want to start with the Ford. The 1949 through the 51 Ford Deluxe and Custom Coupes are considered to be the first of the shoebox Fords. The 1949 was completely redesigned. And with the exception of the powertrain, the car was pretty much new in every way. Coil springs in the front, semi-elliptic springs in the rear. The engine was moved forward about 4 inches to make more room in the passenger compartment. And the old torque tube was replaced with a new modern drive shaft. The engine choices were the popular 226 straight six and the 239 flathead V8. Ken, I want to bring you into this. Now, that flathead V8 sure did make its rounds back in their late 40s, early 50s.
Oh, yeah, and by 1949, they pretty much had all the bugs out of that motor. And by the way, this car literally saved Ford. They, you know, the 46, 47, 48 cars, they almost went into bankruptcy, those cars. This car came out, it turned it around for Ford. But the 49 of the first of the shoeboxes had a lot of problems. They had problems with leaks, water leaks. They had problems with rusting.
They're prone to rusting.
Yeah, but by 1950... Now, most of the major problems they had turned them around, but they were really troublesome, the first ones.
Well, for 49, Ford debuted the 49 Ford at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York. One heck of a big way. They had a carousel of new Fords that kind of revolved around in a circle. They made a big deal out of it. And it was pretty cool. Another thing that I liked is Ford, even though GM and Chrysler toyed around with automatic transmissions, and they've been toying with them since the 30s, Ford didn't offer their two-speed air-cooled unit until 1951. That meant the only transmission option for 49 was the three-speed manual trans. But everything about the car, I kind of like it, Jim. It reminds me of Henry Fonda. He did a movie in the, I guess, the late 50s. I can't think of the name of it, where he drove a 1950 Ford Custom.
I like the looks of the car. I think it's really a cool car. Was not a popular car to hot rod until just recently. It's becoming a very popular car now to hot rod.
Well, the interior and dash were, for the most part, utilitarian. Bench seats up front and the rear were either broadcloth or mohair. You could order tan leather interior, but it was pretty rare that any buyers actually chose that.
I'll take a look at this. What a beautiful car. Style, this is classy, everything about it. This is a good-looking vehicle all around.
Don't look at the page next to it.
Well, one of my favorite, I think these shoebox Fords are some of my favorite cars. And take a look at that body, the straight lines, the lack of a rear fender. That set the pace for the rest of the auto industry.
It did. It's where they finally got rid of fenders.
Yeah.
Well, the original MSRP on the car was about $1,595. Ken, if we have a showroom condition Ford Custom, what are we looking at?
Yeah, well, if we're talking about a Ford Custom two-door sedan, which is probably the more popular of them, other than the convertible, of course, you're looking at about $18,500. As a matter of fact, on my website, there's a blue one that I sold for about that price here just recently.
So $18,500, it's pretty good return, Spence.
Yeah, it sure is. That's nice.
And we do see quite a few of them out at the car shows where we head out to. It seems like the 50 and the 51 are pretty popular. But before I go any further, let me just say that whether you're looking for simple replacement parts, restoration parts, performance upgrades, or quality reproduction body panels, NPD or National Parts Depot, these are the go-to guys. Check their catalogs for part availability. National Parts Depot makes our Clash of the Classics possible. Nobody knows classics better than these guys. NPD, check them out at npdlink.com. All right, let's head into the 1949 Studebaker Commander. The styling of the new Studebaker was done mainly at Raymond Loewy Studios. And for those of you out there who may not know who Raymond Loewy is, he's referred to as the man who shaped America. Another title he has is...
He didn't do a good job here. That's what I was meant, well, Spence. Don't look at the other page.
The father of streamlining, and then he's also known
he missed
as the
boat there too.
Father of industrial design. Studebaker design was stunning to some and somewhat polarizing, I guess, to others. The four-part wraparound rear window was
you can't even say it.
It was funny. It resembled the front window comedians back back then, Spence, I thought of you. They had a field day with this thing, trying to figure out whether it was coming or going.
This is Commander Bat Guano.
Yeah.
For anybody who has ever
and
seen
you know,
Dr. Strangelove.
This is
terrifying.
He's a famous designer. But when you pitted these two cars, that wasn't even fair. If you just go on looks alone, you're not even going to look at this car. It's so ugly.
No, not on looks alone, but the interior was a lot like the Ford in that it was, for the most part, unremarkable. But the advanced design, Jim, were plentiful on the Commander. Listen, it's Bendix self-adjusting brakes for 1949. No glare instrument panel, pull-type door handles, and both one- and two-piece panoramic windshields. That's the funny part.
This is a two-bagger.
Yeah.
This is definitely a two-bagger. You got to put one over your head. You know that old story.
Well, the deal is, if you ever saw the movie Twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, these two cars in competition are like that. I mean, this is, they tried something, which you have to give them credit, but it looks better right here in this photo.
Yeah, we got a photo with it just to check. And actually, that's exactly what needs to be addressed. This is back when people were taking the pens out and trying to do something. This is after the war, and they were trying, like Kenny said, to establish what they're going to look like. Ford established this. They won. Studebaker lost.
Well, if you are interested in the car, some pluses, I guess, would be it's an outstanding design to some people's opinion, not to yours, Jim. It performs well, and it's definitely a milestone car. But some of the drawbacks is that it's not cheap. And Ken, I thought about you on this one. They're prone to rust, especially in the front fenders. And because of the drains that were not there, it's problematic. So to find a survivor car that's not rusted would be pretty unusual.
Yeah, they're not too unlike than a lot of the cars of that era. But this particular car was a really good car. But it's amazing, you look at this car and you think in 1953 they brought the Starliner, which is probably one of those beautiful cars at that time. But, you know, they did kind of redeemed themselves in 51. Remember that bull nose they brought out?
Right.
That was a pretty front end on the car. The rear end was still like like this.
Well, original MSRP on the Studebaker was a little higher than the Ford, rolled in just under $2,988. What is that car worth today, Ken?
Well, if you take the two-door sedan, you could pull $17,175 out of it. That one you don't like with the wraparound rear window, they call that a Starlight. You can bump up another $5,000 for that car.
Really?
That's because that's what each of those windows cost.
Well, if you got money and you want funky and you're going to a car show or a cruise, this would kick butt. But as something that you would drive, $2,000 back then. Gosh, that's a lot of money.
Actually, the convertible was not a bad looking
car. You can't even buy a couch
with the top down.
Well,
a lot of things look better with their top off, right?
Yes.
Yeah. One thing that I did like is that the 3-speed manual transmission was standard. It was extremely reliable, but there was also an automatic transmission.
Oh, no.
Yes, there
really?
Was.
Do
tell.
It was called the Ultramatic. It was designed by Packard. The trans was definitely ahead of its time, but instead of calling it Ultramatic, they should have called it Problematic because it was continually failing. I mean, this was pretty bad. Our next guest in studio will be Glenn Trobe, and he and I worked together on an Ultramatic a few years ago, and that transmission is definitely forgettable, but at least they did make the effort to bring an automatic as a part of the option. So I kind of like that, but between these two cars, I think I already know where you're heading, Spence, but between the two, you're rolling with the Ford, right?
I'm saying absolutely yes. I'm rolling away from the studio.
Right. And Mr. Ken?
Oh, I love the Ford.
Oh, okay. So we have two Fords.
I want to say one thing real quick. All those cars of that period rusted. They didn't have any kind of scientific thing, and they didn't undercoat the cars.
Yeah,
they didn't do anything,
right.
But anyway, I'll go with the Ford.
Well, folks, that makes four Fords. So if you head to our Facebook page, you can always cast your vote because we have a four-way tie here today. We're all going to roll out with the Ford. I like it as well. Styling, definitely. Interior, definitely. Ride quality, definitely. Everything about the car was better than the Studebaker, so it's kind of unfortunate. And I think Studebaker ended in 1966, didn't it, Ken? Didn't they?
Yeah, the Lark.
Yeah, the Lark was the last model for them, and then who took over Studebaker? Was Packard? No.
Well, no. Well, Studebaker and Packard got together back in the 50s. But as 66 was the last of the breed.
Yeah, I thought that, and it's too bad because I think that they could have made a whole lot bigger splash than what they did. But folks, again, if you're considering a classic ride, you're in the middle of a classic build, just considering getting into classic car restoration, do yourself a favor. You gotta check out NPD. You can find them 24 hours a day at npdlink.com. These guys know classics better than just about anyone. But that's just about the time we have for our show. It's been great hanging out with everyone. If you miss this show or any part of this show, you can always check us out on our podcast or our website, horsepoweronline.com. There you'll find more details. Either way, it's been a blast hanging out with everybody. Tune in next week when we talk trucks. In fact, we'll look at Ford F-250 Super Duty Diesel and the Chevy Silverado Duramax Diesel. That's going to be a blast. For Donnie, for Jim, for Spence, for Ken Hale, for the entire Horsepower for an Hour crew, be safe, folks. We'll see you next week.